Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word.
The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday in Lent is from Jeremiah chapter 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle of this reading this morning is from Hebrews chapter 5. Every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of these people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, You are my son, today I have begotten you. And he says also in another place, You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications without cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of the Lord. And I invite the congregation to please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. And they were on the road, going up to Jerusalem. And Jesus was walking ahead of them, and they were amazed. And those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was happening to him, saying, See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes. And they will condemn him to death, and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him, and spit on him, and flog him, and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus and said to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Grant us to sit, one at your right and one at your left, in your glory. Jesus said to them, You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? Or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said to him, We are able. And Jesus said to them, The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those whom it has been prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they became indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever will be first among you must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you could ask Jesus for one thing, what would it be? If Jesus came to you today and asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" What would you say? I'm guessing a whole ton of things might fly through the mind, you know. Maybe it would be healing for yourself or for a loved one that you're worried about. Maybe it would be peace in the midst of a really crazy and getting crazier world. Maybe it'd be for less stress at work or at school. Maybe it'd be for more time with loved ones. Might be something along the lines of, "Well, Lord, it sure would be nice to just have a little more comfort level here." Well, James and John get that opportunity. Actually, they sort of create that opportunity for themselves today. They get to ask Jesus for whatever they want. But they already had in mind just what they wanted. They wanted to sit at Jesus' left hand and his right hand in his glory. Now, their request probably made sense on a whole bunch of levels. It was common in the Old Testament for a prophet to pass on his prophetic ministry to someone else. And, you know, Peter, James, and John, they were Jesus' inner circle. Peter, James, and John were out in the boat with Jesus, miraculous catch of fish, when Jesus says, "Hey, stop being fishermen and be my fisher of men." It's Peter, James, and John who go with Jesus, and no one else, go with Jesus to see the miracle of the resurrection of Jairus' daughter. It's Peter, James, and John that Jesus takes up on the mountain of the Transfiguration. They see the glory of who Jesus is shining through in his body. And they don't know it yet, but it's Peter, James, and John that Jesus will say, "Come a little further into the garden with me and pray with me." You know, now James and John, they may have thought that Peter somehow disqualified himself. They're not trying to be snub Peter out of this, but you know, this comes up at a time when Jesus is predicting his death and resurrection, and it was only a few weeks before where he had done the same thing, and Peter is like, "Oh no, Lord, that's never happening to you." And Jesus had to say, "Get behind me, Satan. You have the things of men in mind rather than the things of God." So, you know, maybe it makes sense for James and John to ask for the positions of the left and right hand in Jesus' glory. At least in a worldly sense. But I'm going to say, thankfully, God doesn't ask that question of us. "What do you want me to do for you?" And I say thankfully, because I'm pretty sure I would mess it up. I'm pretty sure that what I would ask for would depend on the time of day, the day of the week, what was going on at that particular time, whether I was feeling good or bad, angry or sad, whole host of other things. I probably would blurt something out that later I'd go, "Oh, that was dumb." And James and John had to hear Jesus' response to their request. "You don't know what you are asking." Sometimes I think, well, I wonder how often Jesus says that about my requests. But we can be thankful that God doesn't ask us a question for a couple of other reasons as well. First and foremost, because actually, He tells us to pray for everything, not just one thing. Ask. Ask persistently, Jesus invites his disciples. Paul would catch that later and say, pray without ceasing. Jesus says, if you have a need, come to the one who can help. And don't give up. Be persistent. Pray. Talk. Just like a child comes to their father and asks for the things they want and need. You see, we've been given a great gift in prayer. The promise, not that God's going to give us everything we ask for, but that he will always hear. And we don't get just one chance. So we don't have to worry about messing up the request. And notice this too. Jesus doesn't actually rebuke James and John for asking. He rebuked Peter when Peter denied the cross, but not James and John. He corrects them. He teaches them. He doesn't give them what they asked for, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But it is okay to ask. Your Father loves it when you pray. Even when sometimes we ask for the wrong things, and he has to say, you don't know what you're asking for. But also there's another reason I'm thankful that he doesn't ask this question. And this is really the point of Lent, the point of the readings today, that what God does give to us is what we should have asked for. Now, the Old Testament reading from Jeremiah spoke of this first. The people of Israel had messed up for centuries, continuously turning away from Yahweh God and worshiping idols, always looking for security somewhere besides Yahweh. Though God sent prophet after prophet to preach to them, to turn them in repentance and faith, they wouldn't listen. And so finally, God, through Jeremiah, has said, this is it. I'm taking you away from your homeland, and you will be in exile for 70 years. It was going to be a hard but necessary discipline. And it's because they had broken the covenant with God. And I imagine that if in that time of exile they would have had God say, what can I do for you? They probably would have said, we just want to go home. But God didn't ask. Instead, through the prophet Jeremiah, he proclaimed what he would do for them, what he would give to them, what they really needed. He is the true father giving true gifts to his children. And he says, this is what I'm doing. I'm going to give you a new covenant. And this new covenant is where I will forgive your iniquities and I will remember your sin no more. That's the answer, you see. If we have only one thing to ask for, that's what it should be. Can you forgive me, Lord? Can you forgive my nearly constant rebellion against your will? Because that's our greatest need. Did you think of that with that opening question? If you did, good for you. But I wouldn't have. And I don't know a lot of you would have. But you see, forgiveness is the gift above all other gifts. It is the forever gift. Everything else will go the way of the world, decay and destruction. But forgiveness lasts forever. Forgiveness is why the Son of God came into our world. To be, as the letter to the Hebrews says, to be our high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. A priest would sacrifice himself for the life of the world. The priest would sacrifice himself for all people, no matter when they lived or where they lived. The high priest who would give his life as a ransom for your life to buy you out of sin and death. This is why Jesus came. And this is actually the center of his glory. So when James and John ask for places next to Jesus in his glory, they really don't know what they're asking for. They're thinking of the greatness and glory they know, like what they saw there on the mountain of the Transfiguration. But Jesus was going to show to them a greatness and a glory they did not know. The cross. Because this is where the full greatness and glory of Jesus lies. His greatness lies in this truth, that he would rather take our sins and he would rather bear God's wrath against our sins than let us try to stand for ourselves in the presence of God's wrath. Jesus' glory is in this truth, that he would rather die in our place, that we would not die eternally. His greatness and his glory is found in his death on the cross, which seals that promised covenant from Jeremiah, the covenant of forgiveness. Which, if you think about, is the only thing that Jesus asked for while on the cross. The Gospels record seven things that Jesus said while hanging on the cross. One of them is a question, five of them are statements, but only one is a prayer or a request. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. That's what Jesus is all about. The healings, the miracles, even the resurrection. It's all about forgiveness, the undoing of sin, and the giving of life. Because when you are forgiven, you have everything, all that you need, now and forever. That we don't automatically think that way? Well, that's an indication that we too, just like James and John, we still have something to learn. And so Jesus asked them a question in order to teach them. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism which I am baptized? James and John answer with an eager, we're able! Whatever it takes, Jesus, to get that seat of the right and left hand in your glory. But they didn't know that Jesus was going to be baptized into our death on the cross. They didn't know that the cup that Jesus was about to drink was the wrath of God against sin. They didn't know that two thieves were the ones who were going to sit on Jesus' left and on his right in his glory. And they didn't know that Jesus was doing this, that Jesus was transforming that baptism and that cup through the glory of the cross. Jesus, who is the life, is baptized into our death, so that now he gives to us a new and better baptism, our baptism into his death and resurrection. The one who is the sinless Son of God, he drinks the cup of God's wrath against our sins, so that we who are sinners can come forward and drink the cup of forgiveness, transformed by the cross. So that in every baptism, and every time we are gathered for the Lord's Supper, Jesus' one request from the cross is fulfilled. We receive that forgiveness he prayed for, that forgiveness he died for. And so James and John, you and I ultimately, we are baptized with Jesus' baptism, and we do drink of his cup. But only after he's transformed them from death to life for us. Because that's his glory. That's why he came. That not just James and John, but all of us will at one time and will finally, in the end, be gathered around him in all of his glory. James and John really didn't know what they were asking. We so often don't know what we're asking. But we are so grateful that the greatness and the glory of Christ gives us what we need: forgiveness. Amen. May the peace of God established in Jesus' death and resurrection keep your hearts and your minds in Christ, your Savior. Amen. Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.